This morning, I want to bring your attention to the passage of scripture that was read, basically speaking about Christian stewardship. Now, these Sunday mornings when I'm here, I try to bring these messages or these devotionals, because that's what they are, that relate to the Christian life and Christian living in the church. And if you want to call it ecclesiology, it is basically that under that subject, because I find that many people are ignorant towards church life and church living. We come out of cultures where we can throw a bone at God on Sunday mornings for an hour, and we think that that is the Christian life. But that is so wrong. That's heathen, like, to the core. And therefore, we take these moments to address these things biblically. But this morning, we will look a little bit at stewardship. And we read in Luke chapter 16 and verse 1. He said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And the Lord Jesus, you know, always speak to his disciples in parables, make it difficult for the ordinary man to understand. But we who have been given knowledge can understand these parables. Now, this passage in the Bible is commonly called the parable of the unjust steward. If it was not profitable for us today, the Holy Spirit would not have included it in the Holy Canon, the Bible. So it means that it is profitable to us. But this passage in no way suggests that Christians are to be unjust in their dealings. Don't go running with this. So one thing is not teaching is that the end justifies the means, like some people do. The steward in this parable that I would briefly share with you in this format was dishonest and crooked and took advantage of his office to advance his cause, to keep his job. In other words, some Christians are like that. They operate like that, but we shouldn't. And there's a broader lesson that is being taught here. The Lord commended this unjust steward and made a contrast between the people of the world, the unsaved, with their earthly prudence, and the people of God with the gospel. This is what the Lord took and used as a springboard to speak to his people by showing them the people of the world are more prudent about their goals than we are with the gospel. And this is the lesson that we would share. As a matter of fact, we read in verse 8 of Luke 16, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Today, you and I are given a stewardship, each one of us here. You do not have to be an officer in the church. You do not have to fulfill the diaconate or the eldership to be a steward. If you and I have been called to salvation, automatically, God has given us a stewardship. The word steward really is a composition of two words. And you've probably heard me say this many times. House law. That's what the word literally means. Oikonomos. House law. Two simple words. The law of the house is the word of God. We are stewards of the Word of God, whether it be personal or whether it be you have an office, but you have the stewardship of your body. All true believers are in custody of the Word of God in their lives, how they treat the Word of God. We are considering Joseph in our evening sermons. Some of you may be listening. We saw how Joseph was given custody over the house of Potiphar, over the house, the prison house, over the palace of Pharaoh. And we saw each time what is said about this young man, Joseph, to the end. And hopefully next week we will finish chapter 50 of Genesis. We read what Joseph's master did in Genesis 39, verse 6. Let me read it to you. You don't have to turn, but I read it. The Bible says, "And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had except the bread or the food which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored." Not only was he well favored in Potiphar's house, he was well favored by God. The word that described Mary, who was highly favored. Daniel, well favored. Joseph was an exemplification of a faithful steward across the board. God give him that. The perfect steward, of course, is the Lord Jesus. We are told, "For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward." And here is the perfect steward. Verse 6, Hebrews 3. "But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end." I read from Hebrews chapter 3, 4 and 5. And the writer directs us to the supreme example of stewardship and call us to be faithful. Therefore, you and I can learn some profitable truths in the parable of the unjust steward about Christian stewardship. And that's my aim. And the first thing I want to show you are stewards. Stewards are accountable to their Lord. Notice verse 2. This certain rich man, it's a parable, and of course, it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The certain rich man called him a steward and said unto him, "How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward." This steward was accountable to his master, his rich master. And I guess we can put the dots and the I's together. But he was accountable. The earthly steward called into account and threatened to lose his stewardship. In fact, the Lord Jesus taught the same lesson in Matthew 21, the parable of the vineyard. I hope you remember that. Israel, Old Testament Israel, were given stewardship over the oracles of God. They were stewards. They were the custodians of the law, but they were not faithful. By the time Jesus came, he chided with them for being unfaithful. One of the places is in that famous passage in Matthew 21, verses 40 and 41, and he said, "When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do to those husbandmen?" Same thing, farmers. "They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits." in their seasons. He was speaking this about a certain man let out a vineyard, and he dig a wine fat, and he tended to his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit, and there was no fruit. That's what he was talking about. He's talking about the kingdom of God. The church, if you may, was let out to custodians, as it is today. And here we see the Lord threaten to take away the stewardship from Old Testament Israel, which he did, by the way, at the cross, and let out his vineyard to the church. You and I have become custodians of the church. Individually, each of us have a stewardship. Today, Israel is no longer the stewards of God's house. I hope you know that. You don't go to Palestine looking for salvation. You go to the church. You understand? So don't listen to these people who keep pushing this peace, this Israeli peace. But it's not my field today. As stewards, we are accountable to God. And we're living in a day, and I have to say, where people do not want to be accountable. Brother Frank, I don't want to use you, brother, as an example, but you're right in front of me, so you're an easy target. Brother Frank is sitting here with us, and he would bear me out. He's a steward. First, he has a master. He's accountable to his Lord. But he's accountable to the elders at Trinity. That's why he's here. He couldn't come here if his elders didn't permit him to come here. And when he finished here, he has to go back and tell his elders what he did here. And some Christians do not have this accountability. They're detached from the church. No accountability whatsoever. So, brother, I hope you don't dispute what I'm saying when you go on the pulpit. But I am accountable, Brother Deputy, to you men. And you are accountable here to your church. So I just want to say this. But this earthly steward had a resolve. And I want to show you something else in verse 3. He looked within. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig, cannot beg, I'm ashamed. See, apparently you see the embarrassment of losing his stewardship. And this is where we all should start in assessing our Christian stewardship, by looking within. He looked within. His job was on the line, so he looked within to see where he was going wrong. And some of us need to look within. But don't deceive yourself when you look within. This steward had a dishonest resolve to keep his stewardship, verse 4. He says, I am resolved what to do. When I am put out of the stewardship, there may receive me into their houses. He's trying to butter up these people that is under him so that when he loses his job, he would have somewhere to live. It's sensible. Some of us don't look out for the future. End up on the street begging, panhandling. And so these are good moral lessons also as stewards. I won't like to see any of you on the street begging for a living, begging for a lodging, because of bad stewardship of your life and your money. We have a situation here where we just had to cover the roof, the whole roof. I got to do more. We brought it before you. And this is a good lesson. And some of us like to piggyback on other people and don't pull our weight. We are stewards of our money, and we are stewards of this building. had a dishonest resolve. Hopefully, as stewards of Christ, this is not our resolve. And this is why he is called unjust, because his focus was unjust. But our point is that we all need to look within in making assessment of our personal stewardship as the Lord's people. Am I faithful? Because I'm accountable. Another valuable lesson we can learn from the unjust steward is that he looked without. He looked without. We read in verses 5 through 7. I'll read it. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? 700 measures of oil. He said unto him, take thy bill, sit down quickly and write 50. Cut his bill in half. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 40. 20%. The word of God here, brethren, is not so much recording these actions that I'm reading for education, but for learning and admonition to us who are stewards. As the parable concludes in verses 8 through 12, remember, the Lord did not commend this steward's actions, but he commended his earthly wisdom in contrast to Christian stewardship and wisdom. That's what he's doing. That's the lesson of the parable. The unjust steward looked without in finding means to satisfy his earthly master. You and I don't even have to look without. You could look within the four walls of the church and find means to satisfy your Lord. You can look. You don't even have to look out there. But you could look in here. I read verses 8 and 9. The Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. You see the comparison? And I say unto you, now the application, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. Well, of course, he's talking about your money. Make friends. Those things, the things of the world, not only your money, your house, your property. Use these things for the furtherance of the gospel. Use them, otherwise they'll use you. That's what he's teaching. Make friends. Verses not saying make friends with the ungodly people in this world. Not saying that. But if you do that, in making friends, I hope you have a goal. You're making friends with the ungodly. Because we can make friends with the ungodly very quickly. But I hope you have a goal. You're making friends with them. Mammon of unrighteousness, I suppose, is money. Or money, the things we have. We make friends with it for eternal purposes. How much do you give? How regular do you give? When you give, how much leave back for yourself? Make friends that when we leave this life, we will have eternal habitation. In other words, it doesn't mean that you give to get heaven. You can't do that. But you give because you're going to heaven. The mammon of unrighteousness, like I said, is our resources. We make friends with it for eternal purposes. That when we leave this life, we are assured a of something better in the future. The unjust steward was concerned about earthly matters. The people of this age would travel great distances and would spend great amount of money to reach their goals. And some Christians do that. They spend more up in the air and on vacations than they spend on the gospel. And the Lord has rebuked us in this passage here. And I hope if you're like that, that it says something to you. People will spend every dollar to gain a little more. Christians find it hard to give for the furtherance of the gospel, or for the furtherance of the gospel in missions. Give here, whenever you hear, give the missionary something, somebody. I always say to people, don't give me no old shoe or no shirt with no sleeve with a hole in it for no missionary. Give me the best, the ones like I wear. Spend further the gospel. And these are practical things that we're sharing. The unjust steward was called to account. He looked within. You and I should look within to assess our personal stewardship with the Lord's time, with the Lord's resources, with the ministry here we are called to undertake. Sometimes we sit down and we discuss our plan, what we're going to do, what we're going to implement in the church. And the same things we sat together as officers and plan and discuss we want to do are the same things that right in your face we neglect to do. We need to look within and see how we are managing the house of God. As Paul writes to Timothy, these things have I written unto you, that if I delay my coming, that you will know how to behave in the house of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. We have a whole Bible that instructs stewards how to behave in God's house. The unjust steward, look within, but he also look without. The Lord said in verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Notice the Lord calls the mammon of this age little things. And he called the things of heaven much. Notice in this verse, see what he called the things of this world? Little things. The Reverend J.C. Ryle, the old bishop, Anglican bishop, quoted and said, and I quote him, he would have us know that little things are the best tests of character, and that unfaithfulness is the symptom of a bad heart. The little things is a test of character. A few dollars, vehicle, house, time. The things that I spoke about is a test of character. Job, it's a test of character. Family, the little things, they're not little, but to compare with eternal things, they are little, but it's a test of character. How do you handle these things? Are you always borrowing money? Are you always late in paying your bills? Are you always getting notices from the creditor? You have a maxed out credit card? It's a test of your character. That's what the Lord is teaching us. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. How do you expect to be faithful in the church as a Christian with that kind of character? You're not fitted for office. When we look down, when you look in the church most of the time, in the organized church, very few men are qualified for the diaconate. But when you look at the average congregation, look down the line and make assessments, very few men are qualified for the office of the diaconate, unless you want a liberal church. You can get one, six for a dollar. What the Lord is teaching us, brethren, is if we cannot be trusted with our own time, our own resources, what makes us think that we can be trusted with gospel matters? These are serious things. And the Lord's teaching, his teachings are very, very hard. And that's why the Jews say, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? It is meant to show you and me that the Lord requires us all and he requires our all. This carnal Christian nonsense is not biblical at all. We have a stewardship. No matter how small we see that stewardship, we are stewards over our bodies. We are stewards over our time. That's why I say, you guys, when you guys come here to preach or to speak, don't come here with no button off your shirt and no dungarees. Don't come here like that. I see some of you guys lightening up, no, and even putting on a jacket. But respect the office of teacher. Your steward. No matter how small it is, if one is not faithful in these matters, what makes us think that God would entrust his word to us? We would speak, but we would not have a listening ear. If I come here and Brother Depo, I'm two buttons off of my shirt, who do you think will listen to me? Verse 11 and 12 concludes our thought. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you, to your trust, the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? God has given us, brethren, the resource of time. How is this resource utilized? But the greatest stewardship that you and I have is the stewardship of our own souls. How are you managing your soul? How are you feeding your soul? What do you feed upon spiritually? I often say sometimes you go into a nursing home to look for a sick person, and you see them feasting on Oprah Winfrey. And I say all the time, is that what you want to feast on? As a child of God, when there's so many resources available that can nourish your soul. And if you're doing it, you need to feel bad. You need to straighten up. You need to come around. How are you managing your soul? How are you providing for the future? This guy provided for the future. of your soul. And I close with the word of the Lord as we pray. Matthew 6:19-21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. By the way, the Lord Jesus is the moth. He's the thief that comes in the night and steal everything we stored up. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. When the stock market crash, a lot of people commit suicide, because that's where their heart was. So this is a very interesting lesson about stewardship. It may sound a little jovial to you, but it is very serious. We are stewards, and we will be called in account for our stewardship. May the Lord help us to be faithful stewards. Let's pray. Give you thanks, O Lord, for the hour that has passed. Pray you'll bless this hour, these minutes, as we seek to pray. We ask you to lead us, that we will say the right things, and you'll help us in the answering of our prayer. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.